Let's open our Bibles to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. Beginning at verse 6 of the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, ready, are reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In verse 9, Peter writes, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." And this word slack means slow or tardy. And this morning I want us to think on this general subject: God is not slow. God is not tardy. God is not behind his schedule. Peter emphasizes in verse 6 that the ancient world perished. This is what he writes. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. This simply means that the world system perished. It doesn't mean this ball that we live on, this gigantic terrestrial ball of earth. It simply means the system that had been developed by the world, that was according to the wisdom of the world, that this system perished. And that God did not use some unfamiliar substance to destroy this world system. Peter writes that God used water, a substance that was also used in the creative process, and that God used it as the method for destroying this world system. Whereby the world that was, being overflowed with water, perished. In verse 7, Peter teaches that our world will also perish. But the heavens and the earth which are now. Not only the world system as it exists now, not only the governments, not only the principalities and powers that have arrayed themselves against God, but the entire universe, the entire system. Not only the world system, but the entire world itself, the earth itself. The heavens and the earth which are now, Peter said, by the same power are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This time, instead of using water to destroy an ungodly and wicked world system, God will use fire and not only destroy men, but he will destroy the earth. And it is reserved to be judged and to be destroyed, and God is keeping it for that purpose. And God warns us through Peter not to be ignorant. He gives us a warning. He gives the world a warning, but especially does he warn us.
he writes, but beloved. He's writing to people who are Christian people. He's writing to people who are people that have been instructed in the things of God, but perhaps have forgotten, and he has reminded them, and he writes, but beloved, be not ignorant. Don't remain not possessing the knowledge that you ought to possess of this one thing. A singular thing, Peter says, ought to call and claim our attention. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Peter is warning us against putting things in our time frame rather than leaving things according to his plan and his will and his providence. Why does God warn us then against putting things into our perspective and thinking as we think? Because scoffers will ask and mock and say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Where is the promise of his coming? Or where are the scriptures being fulfilled that Jesus will come again? Why hasn't he come? We don't see anything happening that hadn't been happening all along. Why the tides ebb and flow, the sun rises and sets, and people die and people are born and generations come and go, and everything just continues as it always has. And so we're beginning to wonder, is this thing really going to happen? And God is saying, I am not a creature of time. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as is one day. In other words, God is not subject to time. Time means nothing to God. For God is eternal in all of his characteristics and his attributes. And there is abundant time for God to accomplish his will, for God has the infinite duration of his own self. Man must accomplish in one lifetime what he plans to accomplish. That isn't so with Almighty God. I'm sure that most of you have made plans. There are things you want to do. And if you're like I am, you're finding that it's going to be extremely difficult for you to accomplish everything you've planned because there is such a thing as age that is relentlessly pursuing you and overtaking you and causing you to reevaluate your plans. And we begin to work harder and we begin to work faster because we can see sunset coming in our lives. But God is not subject to growing old. The grave is not before God. God isn't getting gray-haired. God is infinite. God is eternal. Therefore, God is not going to have to hurry. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as it is as one day with God. It really makes God no difference. He just simply works his will, but not according to time in the sense of being pushed and rushed. And people were making a bad mistake. And people will make a bad mistake by assuming that because God is not rushing things to conclusion, And because things are happening much slower, perhaps, than we would like for them to happen, we need be careful lest we arrive at the conclusion that God is slow. The Lord is not slack or slow concerning the fulfillment of His promise, as some men count slowness or tardiness, but is long-suffering to us, but not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When men delay or fail in keeping a promise, we draw certain conclusions and inferences from their delay. For instance, if someone makes us a promise to do something in a certain time, and that doesn't occur, we may begin to think that this person has changed their plans, that something has come up and now they must change their plans. Someone may promise us that they'll see us at 8 o'clock Monday morning. Someone's coming to visit over the weekend and they promise we'll be there Saturday morning before lunch. Then when 10:30 comes and 11 o'clock comes, 11:30 comes, we begin to say, well, I wonder if they've changed their plans and if they're going somewhere else. Or we may wonder and think that they may have forgotten their promise. They promised to come and visit us. So about 11:30, we get on the telephone and we call to see if they've forgotten. Or we may think that they've simply changed their plans, that something's come up, or maybe they've gotten sick and they no longer possess the ability to keep their promise. Or they may be aware of their promise. They may be aware of what time it is. That they just simply feel no obligation to keep it. There are people like that who make promises without thinking. And then when the time comes to fulfill the promise, they just don't feel any obligation at all to keep their promises. And these are the feelings that Peter seems to indicate people are possessing in their minds and coming to believe because the things that they are looking for have not occurred according to the time frame or the plan that they themselves have made. But I can assure you that God is not slow, and we should never believe this about God. God has not changed His plans. God has not forgotten His promises, and God has not lost the ability to keep His promises, and God still feels to His very soul the obligation to keep every promise that He's ever made. But this slowness is man's perception. It's the way that we look at doing God's will or God doing His will that seems to us to always be cutting it to the very last second. I thought about Daniel and his going to the den of lions. If I had been Daniel and they had been dragging me, and yes, I said dragging me. I said if I had been Daniel. They didn't drag Daniel, but I said if I were Daniel and they were dragging me to the den of lions, I would have said, God, you have just messed around and waited too late. It's all over with now. Had I been being dragged toward that pit of lions and I could hear them roaring, perhaps scratching against the stone wall and leaping, I would have said, God, it's all over with. You're too late. God wasn't too late. God had another plan that Daniel perhaps didn't know anything about, and we wouldn't have known anything about. God gave them lockjaw. But I would have preferred that they all died the night before. You know, we're going to throw you in the lion's den tomorrow morning at sunrise. I would have wanted the guard to have come to me and said, "Brother Penn, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. The lions all died a few minutes ago." Now that's timing. I like that. Well, that's not God's way. The lions were healthy. Daniel was placed in the den of lions, and they all went to spend some time somewhere else, and when they came back and they yelled down into the den, Daniel was there, and the lions couldn't open their mouths. God didn't do things ahead of time. God did things on time. Had I been Moses, I would have much preferred to have listened to a radio broadcast or have sent an observation plane over the Red Sea and to have known that it had dried up before I ever left Egypt. Now that would have been the way I would have wanted God to do it, were I leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. But they kept marching and marching and marching, and Pharaoh's army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. And it looked as though God had delayed, and God was tardy, and God was slow, and things were going to happen to them that they feared terribly. They were going to be slaughtered by Pharaoh's army, but just in time, just on time, the Red Sea parted. Oh, how Moses must have fretted and worried and wondered, "Oh God, are you just not going to do it?" Moses, God wasn't late. He was just on time. Had I been one of the Hebrew children, I would have wanted the fire to go out the night before. Wouldn't you? Or I would have said, "God, rain down not fire, but rain down water on that fire." That's the way and put it out. I don't want to see even a spark when they throw me in. But it was all, the flames were roaring. And they brought these Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They brought them and they were ready to toss them into the fire. And I would have thought right then, "Oh, it's too late, God. It's too late, God." And as I was falling into the fire, I would have said, you know, I'd been singing, "Lord, I'm coming home. It's all over with. God, you've just messed around. You're tardy. You're late." Had I been David, I would have wanted to heard a report that he had fallen on a banana peel and broken his leg the night before, wouldn't you? "How's Goliath feeling?" "Well, he doesn't feel good today." I'd said, "Thank you, Lord." "How sick is he?" "Oh, he's bad sick." "Thank you, Lord." But there Goliath is, healthy and well with all of his strength. "God, you've waited too long again. God, you're behind. God, you're slow. God, you're tardy." Why does it appear to us that God is slow? Why does it appear to us that God just puts up with anything? Why can men walk on this earth that God created with feet that God created and eat food that God created and blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ, shake their fist in the name of God, laugh at God's people, use God's people, use God's earth, use God's reign. Why doesn't God stop it?
Because God is long-suffering. And the basic motive behind being long-suffering is love. Because God loves. You see, in John 3:16, this very same world that's mentioned here, the world that now is the very same world that is written about in John 3:16, where it states, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And God is long-suffering. He is not slow. He has not changed His plans. He's not forgotten His promises. He has not lost His ability to keep them. He hasn't simply said, "I feel no obligation to carry them out and fulfill them." God says, "I love these people, even though they act as though there were no God in heaven. I love these people. I want them to repent. I don't want them to perish." God's plan is His plan. God's own time. And someday, this earth, according to the Bible, the very same scriptures, the very same chapter, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. You say, "Where?" Why, I've heard that ever since I was a kid. My grandfather used to talk about the Lord coming back. And I remember he talked about his grandfather talking about the Lord coming back. I don't believe that. One day this world will burn. One day it'll melt with fervent heat. One day everything that's connected to this world system will be burned alongside it and with it. Listen, repent of your sins. Trust in Jesus Christ. Don't perish with this world when it is dissolved and melted with fervent heat.